These the gospel texts are still preparing us for the end of the universe one of these days, and our own end whenever it comes. And we do that as we arrive now at the end of the whole liturgical year, which sums up the history of the world. The text from Daniel is also a text of conflict and persecution. And you just heard it. They were having themselves a party and making fun of all those things they took from the temple. Why did they take them from the temple? Because God turned it over to them, because his people were not faithful to him. And they had to be punished and exiled so that they would be sobered and there would be a good number of God-fearing people among them to prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus. So that's many tegel peres. Your God has numbered your kingdom. You have been weighed on the scale, and peres, your kingdom will be divided and given over to others. The gospel, remember, this is Jesus, the Son of God, a divine person speaking to us and telling us what happens. Now, why would people seize and persecute us and hand us over to prison? Why would they do that? There used to be a saying, I haven't heard it for years, but if you were arrested and brought to jail on the charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to really convict you? Are you really a Christian? It's a very interesting sort of little challenge. Augustine has this phrase which explains part of this. He said, men love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. So people worshiping God, you know, living upright lives, not beset with the fears that everybody else, you know, if you don't know God, I mean, even now, you know, wars, I mean, you got China, you got Syria, you got Egypt, you got, you know, trouble. And those who don't know the Lord, that's all they know. And so that's and that's disturbing. So Christians are always Jews as well in another way. The Jews have a way of life. They don't eat pork. They don't do this. They don't do that. And they're odd. And so they disturb everybody. And one of the things they disturb is the conscience. And Christians, though, you know, there are times when this Christian reality wins people over. In the second century in Rome, there was a terrible plague. And everybody who could got out. So that left the poor and the Christians. Even Galen, the great medical theorist, got out. He wasn't going to hang around there. And so the people, the Christians who stayed, took care of everybody. You know, it was a plague, but if they just had some nourishment, many could pull through. So the Christians made soups and brought them to them and cared for them and buried the dead. And So when that was all over, and the people came back into the city of Rome, the Christians were held in high esteem. They weren't afraid to die, and they wanted to help those who were sick and dying. So they stayed. It was a chance the Lord gave them to evangelize, to make known who Jesus is and what it means to be saved by his blood. And so that's, here it says, you see, don't worry what you're going to say. I'll be there. I myself will give you wisdom in speaking. I remember, I don't know if you ever read this book by Tatiana Goricheva called It Is Dangerous to Talk About God. You remember that book? Well, if you can still find it, I haven't seen it around for years, it's a little book. Tatiana Goricheva, you can guess she wasn't Irish. She was a Russian philosopher. She was a university professor. And living the life of so many Russians, she was drinking too much. She had 3 abortions. She was a brilliant professor, specialized in Hegel, I think. And her life was so miserable, she decided to go with a friend to visit a guru. So the guru taught her how to sit on the floor and breathe deep and say a mantra. Well, the mantra that he gave her was the Our Father. And so she sat on the floor that night and started this Our Father. She was overwhelmed with the awareness of God. And she changed her whole life right there. So then she started women's groups where she could teach about Christianity. This is in communist Russia, you see. And so she'd be arrested and brought in, and they'd question her. She said, "Now, I'm a university professor with a national reputation, and these are brutes, but Satan runs them. So I wait and I pray, and I say nothing on my own, because I know." So finally, she had her choice. She could either go to jail or go to exile. So she went to her spiritual director and said, "Which one should I choose?" Imagine that. So he said, "Go to exile." So she went to Germany. She was an expert in Hegel, so she knew German very well. And now she was in a Christian country for the first time in her life. And she said, "Where's the Christianity? Everybody's comfortable, everybody, you know, where's the Christianity?" And it's not there. She was pretty shocked. So after 5 years of exile or something, they let her come back to her own country. And she said, she wrote a book about all of this, and the title of her book was, "It Is Dangerous to Talk About God." You can get locked up, you can get persecuted, you can get killed, you know. So over in Germany, there are not many people talking about God. They're all fine. They're not fine. They're in terrible danger, but there's no persecution. Strange, isn't it? People are frightened, but they want to make sure Christians don't interfere with their fears or their indulgences, you know, what they're doing with their lives. And yet, see, in this, I experience this more than usual these days. If I'm on a plane and I have my collar on, I always wear my collar because I'm looking for business. And it can happen that the person sitting next to me does not want to hear about God. They just want to, you know, blame me for this and blame me for that, and you know. So I just say, "Okay, well, go ahead, blame, and then see if I can get a word in edgewise to sort of maybe change the thing a bit. But you see, it's because we're attached to our evil that we don't want anybody to say anything. It's dangerous to talk about God. So that's what our Lord, but he said, if this happens to you, don't worry. I will be there. And I will give you the words I want you to say. And there's a famous story. I guess because all the talks. See, we're going to need a few more days and we're going to start Advent. And so this is all about the last times. I was going to tell you a story about something. Now I think it slipped my mind. Maybe it's providential. I should stop the homily and go on. I've forgotten what I was going to tell you about. But it happens a lot. If there's any, they don't bother the nuns much, you know, if they're on in their habit. But they go after the priests. And it's great. It gives you a chance to tell people about Jesus. Help change their lives. And so that's, these are the messages we get at this time of year, as we're, as it were, ending the world. Next Sunday we start yearning for the Messiah.